Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman,
you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over, Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Please turn on your magic beat.
Here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a key.
Here's David Hollander.
Our education system does very little when it comes to teaching our kids about money. That's why it's incredibly important that as a parent or a grandparent, we do everything we can to share our hard-earned ideas and knowledge with our kids when it comes to money. Well, if you haven't found the right opportunity or you just don't know how to start the conversation, well, then today you're in luck because I'm going to go over six things you need to teach your kids about when it comes to money and how to approach the subject with them so you don't feel too awkward. This is a very important topic. Think about it. Where are you going to leave all your stuff when you are no longer here? Your kids. You want to make sure they make some important decisions. So stick around and find out what we have to say about the subject. Good morning. I am David Hollander, the Sandman, and this is Protect Your Assets Radio. For those of you just joining me for the first time, welcome. You hear the jingle people around here. They call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions every single week right here. And that's because I have been running a financial firm for over 25 years and I'm a practicing attorney. So I get to see what's happening in the courts and the families just about every week. Something's coming up. Like I was talking about previously, teaching your kids about earning and saving money is an important life skill that can pay huge dividends in the future. Many successful entrepreneurs that I know and had the privilege to work with started their careers doing odd jobs when they were kids just to earn a little bit of money. The skills they learned started and maintained them through their lives, caused them to start businesses, helped them advance in careers and school because they really enjoyed it. So we can't turn back time, but it's never too late to teach your kids how to save, invest, or start a new business. So today we're going to be going over that. You don't want to miss a single second of today's show as I share with you six things you need to teach your kids. So I know you're busy. I get it. But how and when you talk to your kids about money is really important. And now is as good a time as ever to start the conversation. So when you're making dinner or sitting at the table together or even just riding in the car, ask them if they understand why you go to work. Explain that you go to work to earn money so you can pay for the food that you're eating there at the table, maybe the car you're driving, and then ask them what kind of work would they like to do. Ask them how they will get paid for their work. We'll talk about jobs a little later, but getting them to understand that work produces income is important and that income is used to support yourself and your family is the point you're trying to get across. And once they understand that they will be making money, you need to teach them to count and record their earnings. And so the easiest way to do that is to open up a bank account with your child after you've had this initial conversation. Now, I know today it's easier to do it online, and you need to make sure that they have an account that's in their name, not just yours. And if they're under 18, you can be the guardian on the account, but make sure that they can see their name on the account. And if they log in, of course, make sure they know how to do that. I'm sure they do. Probably teach you how to do some things. But anyways, make sure that they can see for themselves that it is theirs. It's really important that they see that. And I remember back in the old days when this wasn't the way things were done, I remember my mom taking me down to the bank And we opened an account. It was in my name. And I would remember every week I'd go in there with my paper route paycheck money, and I'd go in there and put that in there. And the teller would write the number I deposited in the book, and I could see that. And I know that's not the way it is really today, particularly with the pandemic. But the principle is the same. You must open an account with your child and invite them, help them participate in the process. And then either put their weekly allowance or their paycheck or whatever money they're earning, help them put that in there so they see it go in there. They see the credit and they realize that the energy, the effort they just expended is now showing up in electronic format every time it's going in there, because then they understand that that's going somewhere and it's getting credited to them. And this will get them comfortable with the idea of saving and seeing that money grow. And then the next item I'd suggest you do is make sure that you get them a debit card as part of the account, because they want to be able to buy things with the money that they're saving. Now, a debit card is great because it actually lets them show them if they can afford it or not. They may go out and charge something that all of a sudden they see as something they need, of course, which maybe they really don't. But if they don't have enough money in the account, what's going to happen? The card will decline. And so make sure that that's something that they understand how that works coming in and coming out. And notice how I said that they can afford, because that's another very important aspect of financial information education, is can you afford what you desire? One of the banks out there that has a free account is Axos. It's called their first checking account, and that actually pays a little bit of interest too, by the way. So that's something online. If you want to do that, you can help them open it. And once the account is open, you can go over with them the deposit, how the money actually made its way in there. If there were taxes taken out of their paycheck, which there probably were, make sure that you sit down with them and go through those and explain what that is. And after they pay that, how much is left? Make sure you go over with them the deductions and specifically what they mean, particularly if there's cost involved for a business maybe that they started. Because it's important that they start doing the math, maybe in their head if they're gifted, on paper if they're not, but that they start doing the math to see how that works going in and coming out and what's left after, so they know when they want to go buy something what it took to do that. And I think that this helps them appreciate how much things actually cost. That's just something sometimes I just whack myself in the head. What is, you mean you don't really understand that after tax and everything? Because this, what this does is when they understand that principle, it helps them cut down on impulse buying, because right now today they are so targeted all the time on their phones with information that if they really can step back and say, well, now I see that's $199, but in reality, after taxes and all the energy and effort I did, it took me, 4 hours, or it took me 10 hours, whatever it happens to be, to work to save that. And I think that this really helps them appreciate things and appreciate how much it took to get there. So next, I'd encourage you to discuss with your child about what their money goal is. And if they don't have one, help them set that. I'll give you an example about myself. When I was younger, I wanted to buy an 8-wheel skateboard. I remember my mom saying, okay. And I remember saving my paper route money until I had the money to go down to the skate shop and buy that board. Now, this was months later and the board was still there. That should have told me something. But the reality is I did it. And I went in and I bought that board and I felt really good about that. And I remember I rode it out on the sidewalk. And the first time I rode, I said, I don't really like this. It's kind of very difficult to ride. And I never really got used to riding it anyways. But I did enjoy the experience of having a target number, saving for that number, being able to accomplish it, going down there and buying it. And it gave me a sense of pride and accomplishment. And this is something that you're trying to have your kids understand and develop, because this is your chance to talk through saving with them, setting a goal, and counting the deposits and the hours that they needed to put in to realize that goal. That's very important. And this will also help you help them set realistic objectives. And I want to be somewhat careful here and explain this to you. Russell Wilson once said, that his dad used to tell him, "Why not you?" In other words, let your kids dream and don't necessarily let your experiences shade their vision. Because the beautiful thing about dreaming is anything is possible, and why not your son or your daughter when you think about it? How much money would you have if you started investing when you were a teenager? Well, you can't turn back time, but you can turn your teen into an investor. Coming up next is time for our popular They Say segment, where they say you should let your child invest in a business. Is this always a good idea? You'll find out. You're listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
Times are changing. Some would say they've already changed. And how do you actually protect your assets? David Hollander's Protect Your Assets events focus on common financial concerns that individuals and families face in retirement. Things like how to prepare for unexpected medical expenses and ways to create income to help support your desired lifestyle. Join us at our next free event to learn how addressing these concerns can help you feel more confident about the days ahead and help you sleep better at night. Just go to pyaevents.com and reserve your seat today. That's pyaevents.com and sign up or join the wait list today. pyaevents.com. Enjoy the rest of the ride. The show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, "Hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast." Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets. And this morning, we're talking about a complex problem, which is teaching your kids about finance. Because let's face it, the financial world is complex, it's intimidating, and people can become frozen or they end up making some pretty bad mistakes. So what if you could turn back time and learn the basics about investing when you were young? Imagine the difference that might have made on your life once in a lifetime. That's why today I'm sharing six things you need to teach your kids about money and investing while you both have the time to do it. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers. And here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say. They say that you should always let your kids invest in a business because it's just a good experience. But is that always a good idea? Well, not necessarily. This is really important. Because whether your kids want to start a business or have been approached by someone to invest, this is your opportunity to teach them about your values when it comes to businesses and what they practice and how that affects society. Now, again, this can be a tough issue, particularly with teenagers. I know I've had my share. And they don't necessarily want to hear your opinion. And that's part of being a teenager. But I'm telling you that all kids, whether they're starting a dog washing business or cleaning cars or whatever they happen to be doing to run a business, will look to you at some time for advice and experience. And that is a good opportunity for you just again to translate to them your values about how businesses affect people. And I bring this up because I think of an example where someone tried to get my daughter to invest in a business that was really designed to take advantage of people when she was in college. And this business was recruiting college kids to do the cold calling for them to try to get people to fill out a credit card application. Now, the company charged super high interest rates and was really targeting people who had poor or no credit as a way to get them in this system, if you will. But with proper vetting, investing in a business or helping a business get started, or being part of that can be really exciting. And so whether your kids decide to open their own business or have researched businesses owned by family members or friends, investing in a business makes everything personal. And it's really an excellent way for your child to want to learn more about business and investing. So while I do believe failure is a great way to learn, you want to make sure your teen isn't setting themselves up for failure by investing in a business that's not sustainable. And that's why the skills we worked on in the previous segment are really that important to build before you step into this next area where they're trying to start their own business or invest in a business. So you want to make sure they understand the basics, like dollars earned, taxes, expenses that come out, and what ends up in the bank account. Make sure they understand that first. Those are the fundamentals, if you will. And we went over this last segment. Next, the cost of investing in an individual business can be high. So you as the parent need to be willing to act as the voice of reason when necessary. Remember that, when necessary. But don't try to hold yourself back if you don't understand what they're talking about or the area that they're interested in. Because there again, you may not necessarily know what you're talking about. So I've seen several young people that we've worked with start very successful technology companies over the years from really simple ideas. And I'll give you an example. Nick Woodman, he's the CEO of GoPro. And Nick and I used to race cars at Jim Russell School. And they used to charge us $100 to mount the camera to the car to get video of what you were doing so it would help you later practice. And Nick said, I'm not going to pay $100 for that. It's ridiculous. I'm going to make my own. Well, that's what he did. And then he got some friends and family to throw him a couple $100,000 as investors. And guess what? GoPro was launched. And now he's doing all right. So sometimes it's those simple ideas that we get that can change the world and your child's life experience. So get involved, but not too involved, and let them explore opportunities as they present themselves. And I know it's difficult, but making sure your teenager is investing responsibly, and the way to do that is using your moral compass, your gut, if you will, if you hear about something you're not necessarily sure about, but your gut's telling you something. That's your moral compass. And your kids have it, believe it or not, in them. They do. It'll show itself every now and then. It'll surprise you. You'll smile. But it's essential, and that's going to allow them to help protect themselves from making those really big mistakes. But as every successful person I know will tell you, they've made some big mistakes, and that's okay. Next, you need to establish a Roth IRA for your kids if you can, period. I don't care what they're doing. Do a Roth. And here's why. Because later in life, they're going to need income off of some asset. And the Roth right now is really one of the only ones that's out there that allows them to have tax-free income later in life. And think about this. There's really a pretty good possibility now that there's more stimulus coming that taxes in the future will be going up because we all have to pay for that. It's not free. And in a Roth IRA, the contributions that go into that account have been taxed. And rather than stashing more and more cash away at the bank, which isn't really paying you or them very much, have them work on funding and maxing out a Roth IRA as a good starting point. The limit right now is $6,000 for a year. And all earnings and money in that Roth are tax-free for the remainder of their life. Think about that. Of course, that could change if the government changed the rules, but right now it's the way it is. So finally, the funds cannot be accessed until they retire, which forces you to leave them alone, the money in there. And that's good because that's the last thing you want them to do is go invade that money that they're saving and growing, so they don't see the power of compounding interest all those years. The next step has to do with what you teach them to invest in that Roth account. So I would recommend that you have them look at index funds. What is that? Well, mutual funds were very, very exciting and did very well in the late 90s, as you may remember, and they've grown very popular. In fact, there was nearly 8,000 mutual funds last year and billions of dollars that have been allocated into those products. But I want you to consider advising your kids to avoid the actively managed mutual funds and instead look at using an index fund or an ETF, exchange-traded fund. And this is why. They're typically less expensive than mutual funds. And mainly this is due to the lack of a portfolio manager in them. But picking and managing actively managed mutual funds is somewhat difficult, and you may not be very good at that. Like, they don't know much about it either. So by going with a well-documented index fund or an ETF, while it is less expensive, it's also not actively managed. And that's good because, as you know, over the long run, if you've seen this, it's been well-documented, actively managed mutual funds typically underperform their benchmark indexes over time, and that's what your kids have plenty of. They have lots of time. And so if your child wants to invest in one stock, remember, it's likely going to be risky. But with an ETF, if that stock is in that ETF or in that index, well, that makes the risk less risky. And that way they get to participate in a much broader market without having to pony up so much money for one stock. And again, I remember the idea where my daughters were interested in this, and one of them came home and said, I know, I want to buy Abercrombie. I want to put all my money in Abercrombie. And I said, okay, what about anything else you like? Well, I like Apple. It's okay. All right, why don't we do this? Let's take half the money we'll put in Abercrombie. The other half we'll put in Apple. Do you know what that's worth today? The Abercrombie has lost money. And the Apple, well, let's just say it's up almost 1,000%. So in any event, diversification is good. And the lesson is this. Allow them to pick indexes, but try and mirror those indexes that are well-established and over time should exact more returns for them. Last, teach your kids to contribute or save regularly or systematically. And I say this because this helps them save money over the long time. Periodic or regular contributions into the Roth is one of the easiest way you can teach them to save. And so this could be simply from pulling money from that bank account we talked about on a weekly or quarterly or monthly, however you decide you want to do that, or they do that. Do it together. And that way they'll see they'll be buying that index at the lows and at the highs. And over time, that should smooth itself out. And of course, with more time, it should grow and compound and become something that's pretty nice. All of a sudden, they'll go, wow, Mom or Dad, I didn't realize I now have so much money. Protect. It's time for a quick break. But when we come back, find out how to teach your kids how to turn $100 into $1 million or more. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. We'll be right back.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack.
If you've missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is ask your Amazon Echo smart speaker by saying, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. That reminds me, if you've missed any of today's show, and most importantly, I just updated my prediction on the S&P 500 for this year. So if you missed it, then go listen to our podcast at pyaradio.com. Again, that's pyaradio.com. I'd like to wish some happy birthdays. Leif Malcolmson, Tom Burke, Henry Valancourt, James Riddle, and Jose Martin. Happy birthday to all of you. Next week, next Thursday, celebrating women in this country. We're going to do a webinar particularly on retirement for women. This will start at 5 o'clock on March 18th. If you would like to attend that, it's absolutely complimentary. You can do it from the comfort of your home after you wrap up for the day. Go to pyaevents.com, pyaevents.com, and you can register right there and share it with a friend if you would. I would appreciate that. Thank you very much. So every parent understands the importance of raising money-savvy kids, and teaching them how to earn money is an important step in that process. Many successful entrepreneurs started their careers doing odd jobs as kids to earn money. This work early on builds important life skills that can be carried forward into their future. And unfortunately, the days of plentiful jobs for teenagers have dwindled significantly, according to a report by the Pew Research Institute. Summer employment for teens was as high as 58% in the 70s, but now it sits around 35%. But don't let that stop you or your kids. There's still tons of opportunities to turn $100 into $1 million. You heard me right. And here are some opportunities right now that you should write down and talk to your kids about. They may be thinking about them and trying to get started on them, and your help could be insurmountable. And I'm sure they would really appreciate it, particularly if you get involved and understand what they're talking about. So what sort of jobs online exist today when you can't go necessarily into a physical place? Well, start a YouTube channel. The barrier to entry with online jobs has never been lower. So modern phones come equipped with cameras good enough to shoot good-looking YouTube videos. Try searching your YouTube for something your child's interested in. And if there are videos getting a lot of views in that space, then there's probably room for your kid to join as well. So depending on how popular this subject becomes, they can actually get paid by advertisers once they get in a certain amount of views going. So know that. Sell creative services on Upwork or Fiverr. Do you like graphic design? Is your child good at photo editing, perhaps? Video production? Well, try offering these services as a freelancer on sites like Upwork or Fiverr. While they may not pay a ton, they can be a great tool to build your resume, your skills, and guess what? This leads to higher paying jobs in the not too distant future, particularly if they get really good at this. The other one, I love this one, selling crafts on Etsy. Now, if you're interested in crafting, a lot of kids out there make some pretty cool stuff, then guess what? You can do that. You can create these things, create printables like meal planners and any sort of templates, things like that, decorations. And Etsy makes it a great way to put that out there and earn extra money by having people find things they never otherwise would see. It's like your own personal marketing platform that basically is just about free. Flip items on eBay or Amazon using retail arbitrage. This is amazing. This came straight from a client. Retail arbitrage is the practice of buying discounted items from brick and mortar stores, garage sales, or flea markets, or just going through the closet and reselling them for a profit on eBay or Amazon. While finding profitable items is difficult, it's not impossible. And there's still plenty of room in this market for your kids to get going on this. I have people I know are making over $50,000 a year just in doing this as kind of a hobby. So have your children learn about this. Offer social media or SEO services to local companies. Reach out to local businesses your kids frequent or have connections with. Offer to write them 10 social media posts or a few blog posts they can post on their website, particularly if they're good writers. And if you can impress them with your work, this can turn into an ongoing job that only requires a few hours per week and pays very high hourly wages. So that's it for now. But remember, you can do this and you can help your kids. You just have to start the conversation and above else, listen. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all my fabulous producers, Fish, Danny, Felicia, Phil, Brett, and Amanda. because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. The views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.